Hello and welcome to the Be Better Stupid podcast, where you can come to get self-help from a helpless idiot. I am your host, the creator of all content at BeBetterStupid.com, and your helpless idiot, Will Penny. Today's episode is part two of a two-parter. If you're just now joining us here, well, stop it. Go listen to part one. No? You're not going to? You're just going to jump in the middle like you're going to start watching the Marvel movies with Thor Ragnarok? Fine. Here's a quick review of what we went over in the last episode. My best friend Mike, who, again, has spent the last 10 years in the military, and I discussed the power and importance of just simply being willing to make decisions. We talked about how it's okay to ask others for help and to seek their input. We pushed back against our own tendencies to make comfort-based decisions, because tending towards comfort will always be one of our greatest biases. We also spoke on the asset of being able to fall back on your ethics and morals. When you can decide what's right, that can make you feel good about every decision. You can also be helped to make decisions by understanding that you can't know what's best, and this should help you to stop overanalyzing and to try to find the best path. And finally, feel free to apply some real, time-sensitive pressure to your decisions. This is the boost that can really get you going. Again, I know it's a lot, and you should check out that episode first. But for now, let's get started by jumping straight back into the post and continuing to learn the many ways in which decision-making can suck less. You got me on it, 'cause I'm so tired. Give it a shot. If the decision isn't either of these, if choosing wrong won't end in you dying, or if a few minutes or hours of thinking through the logic of a situation leaves you feeling up in the air, then remember this. A few days won't help you decide, nor will a few weeks or a few years. Waffling, pulling your hair out, shitting your pants, and torturing yourself over a decision would only be useful if it eventually led to you making a confident, definitely correct decision. And spoiler alert, it fucking doesn't. This may blow your mind, but walking around your room and crying, "Mom, what brand of pillow should I get?" actually doesn't do much for you. Eventually, you reach a breaking point in your rumination where you're just constantly chasing your tail like a dumbass. If you're unsure now, if you're not even slightly leaning one way on your decision, then sitting there and running through the same scenarios in your head over and over isn't going to do shit. You just look like an asshole. So in short, don't be a dumbass, pick a thing and do it. But still, how do we decide which thing to do? Yeah, so to be clear, I'm a big fan of rumination in general in life. It's definitely one of my greatest tendencies. It's a fun default activity for me. But there is a correct amount of it, I think. What I would say is this: like, pros and cons lists are fine. Putting yourself fully presently in the best and worst case scenarios can be helpful. These are all good things to do. Weighing likelihoods of outcomes, this is all great. But if your end result of all of that is that you still don't really know what to do, the solution is not to make another pros and cons list. The solution at some point is just to pick a fucking can of soup, right? So, like, it's good to do all the analysis that you can, especially if you can do it before you even get to the point of decision making. But then once you're in the spot, you just got to go. You just got to make a decision, which I guess is probably pretty relevant to military life as well.
I think what I would offer there is, like, I think you're right. Like, dude, I do pros and cons lists too, and I think there's a lot of value to thinking all the way through that when you have time available. Like, that is the
yeah.
How much time do you have available, and how much time can you allocate to the decision that you're making? And that's going to allow you to decide what to do. And then to your point of, like, shrug and make another pro cons list, what I would offer is just, like, be bold and audacious. Like, those are tenets that, and values and traits, whatever, that, like, serve us very well. And you'll find that what goes, it's not recklessness. Like, there's risk analysis as you're going through these decisions. But, like, dude, the guys who just are willing to make the decision and make a really bold decision, like, that's the guy I want to follow. You know, that's the person I want to be around.
Yeah. As it applies to, like, life, it occurs to me, like, so many of our decisions are, we have more time with it than you generally do in a military context. But like we said before, that is almost like a curse. Like, it's the kind of thing where, like, somebody's deciding whether or not to start a side business, and they just kind of sit there and, like, yeah, I'm still thinking about it. And they just are still thinking about it for fucking years. And it just becomes this endless thing that's in the back of their mind, as opposed to ever moving to the front of their mind. And their life slips away because of that. And I think that's so important to think about when you're looking at how you're going to move forward in life is, you almost need to, like, set, like, a time limit on every idea you're going to have. If you've been, like, considering something for a long time, either move forward with it or completely let it go and move on to something else. I think that's kind of the grander idea here.
Yeah, I would offer like the idea of like a desired end state. So like when this thing's all been done, what do you want it to look like? And so to those guys who are delaying a decision, as the idea comes to your head, you're like, man, I really want to do this big thing with my life. Like I've got this idea for this shop that I want to open, or a business model that I want to explore, or something that I want to write. Like, okay, when do you want that complete by, and what is it? And then you back plan from there. And then if every decision is nested in getting to that desired end state, then that makes those other decisions a lot easier. And then honestly, man, like, I don't know what to say about passion, because I think like, a lot of that is like, do you really care about this? Like, is it really something you want to do, or do you just really like talking about it? A lot of it does have to do with like desires. Like, do you really care about this? Okay. If you do, establish your end state, like what's the goal, and then you back plan from there, and all the decisions that you're making, if they really are oriented towards achieving that goal, then I think the options become a little clearer and the timeliness of those decisions become a little clearer as well.
Yeah, and here's the thing also is like, if your end result to that is I don't want to go for this thing that I talk about all the time, like that's fine too. Like if you've determined, you know, I'm pretty happy with what I have, and this is the life that I'm fine living, and I'm okay with that. Like, that's legitimate. Like, that's a completely fine thing. But then don't keep trying to like tell yourself you have this like bigger life ahead of you, or that, you know, at that point you have to decide to be okay with what you have. Decide that you're happy with what you have, or go for what you want. Those are the two roads to go on. Down the middle, like you're going, is hoping for something better while never actually going for it, and that's keeps you miserable where you are. Yeah.
There's a great T.E. Lawrence quote from like the Seven Pillars of Wisdom, and I'm going to jack it up, but it's something about like all men dream, but they don't dream equally. Like the guys who dream at night, they like, it's almost vain, but the guys who dream during the day, they're dangerous men because they dream with open eyes and they're going to make it happen. And I'm totally butchering that quote, but like what you were describing there of like, well, some guys do it and some guys don't, like, yeah, man, like not all men dream, just not equally. And that, it just made me think of that, you know?
The exact quote here, according to Google, is all men dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds wake up in the day to find it was vanity. But the dreamers of the day are dangerous men, for they may act on their dreams with open eyes to make it possible. You're pretty damn close. Four, use your intuition, mostly because fuck it. Many are told to listen to their intuition in this situation, which is a fancier way of saying, I don't know, dude, just fucking guess. What I've come to realize over the years is that if your logic has left you simply pacing and panicking, listening to your intuition or your gut isn't really a bad idea, but not for the reasons that you may think. Your intuition is not some internal source of wisdom. It doesn't know more than your reason or logic, and it's not helping you make the right decision in that sense. Your gut is basically a dumbass. It's you shrugging and taking a right. But your intuition is useful because using it makes you feel better when you make the decision, and there's value in that. You're more likely to act with confidence and comfort, and that can sometimes be enough to turn an awful decision into a bearable one. It can turn, you went to Poland on your honeymoon, to, you went to Poland on your honeymoon! So, sure, go with your gut, mostly because, fuck it. Well, shit, you may be thinking. You're almost acting like it doesn't really matter whether or not I actually make the right decision. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm driving at here. So, as it applies to civilian life, I tend to be pretty anti-following your instincts, but I think you have been making a good point about how what we interpret as our intuition or instincts is actually not always that. It's our subconscious based off of past experience a lot of the times.
In the blog, it's like, yeah, your gut is dumb. It's like, yeah, sometimes that's totally true. Like, but it depends on the situation. Like, if you were facing something that you have absolutely no experience, your context is lacking, your perspective is lacking, then like, yeah, dude, like, educate yourself, dude. However, through the efforts to educate yourself, your intuitive response to things can continually be like trusted more. So like we would call things like recognition prime decision making. So like I see something, I recognize what it is, it's working through it, and I'm gonna do like this is what I'm gonna do. It's second nature. Like I'm going to engage this thing, or I'm gonna do whatever. Your gut, it's not your, you know, like this is, I don't want to like oversimplify it here. Like it's clearly not just like something inside your body talking to you. it is your intuition should be trusted because it's your mind that has seen things or experienced things that is like almost outpacing your thoughts.
Yeah.
I think what I've found is my first impression of people has been wrong so many times, and my gut response has been wrong before, but it's not to be discarded. Like that would be, you just can't live in absolutes, right? So like, you just can't trust your gut. Dude, honestly, man, like I found that like trusting your gut, like I just got a bad feeling about this or no. I think like depending on how compressed your time is, there's something to be said about going with your gut.
Yeah.
Maybe it is like the lizard brain, as you were saying, or maybe it has something to do with what you've educated yourself on or what you've experienced. So, dude, I'm a big advocate of like intuitive, like go with your gut, like go with your gut, figure it out when there's not a lot of time available. When you have time, dude, read as much as you can, talk to people. I always want someone else's opinion when I can get it. I think the gut has to do a lot with time available. And sometimes like, ah, my gut's telling me this. You have time to research a little more, get someone else's opinion. And you're either going to confirm or deny that your gut, like that your intuitive response to that was online or was flawed.
Yeah. And it's beneficial to look at like what your gut is telling you. Like this is a weird example, but like say you're like a teenager and you get held up at gunpoint by somebody. And then later on in life, you see somebody who just happens to look like that person. Your gut might be telling you this is bad, like stay away from this person, like something like along those lines. So it's worth asking, like, why is my gut telling me this? Because I think it can be wrong in scenarios such as that, where it's just like, without further analysis, it can lead you to the wrong direction, I think, sometimes. I do think this is definitely a place where what I'm writing about and what you experience diverge a lot, because most people are not put in those very quick scenarios. But I agree with you, actually. When you're in those quick decision scenarios, it's probably the best thing you have to fall back on. It's just, for the most part, we have opportunity to educate ourselves, I think, in general, with our bigger life decisions than just based off of the pure intuitive feelings that we have. But I think you're right, though. In terms of the quick scenarios, it's like you said before. It's your intuition is going to give you like that 70% a lot of the times. And while if you have time, you should try to get to that 100%. Like if you don't have time, then you're better off trusting that 70%. I guess it's kind of what the end result of all that is.
You know, we have this field study called combat profiling, and it's like profiling in normal life. Like that's not necessarily a good thing to do, right? Could be to biases or stereotypes or whatever it is.
Yeah.
When we discuss profiling, that there's a handful of like some subcomponents to it. You've got heuristics, biometrics, kinesics, geographics, atmospherics, all these different components that like allow you to properly profile in or profile at. And you're in there, you're searching for anomalies. And when you see multiple anomalies, you're like, that is just forcing a decision point right there.
Yeah.
And a lot of times like that's based on training you've received, and your intuitive response is because of previous life experience. So yeah, you're totally right, man. Like there's some times where that's like inappropriate application outside of like these really severe scenarios. But, when the situation, when the intensity is high and the time is precious, like, man, it's pretty important to be willing to go with that.
It's your only choice, really, when you don't have time to sit and read books and analyze and seek others' advice in those scenarios. So, like, it is your best decision maker in those scenarios that you're talking about, I think. 5. Remember, almost all of your decisions don't really matter. This is the key to being more comfortable with your decision-making. Approach all of your decisions as if they are less important than you're making them out to be, because they are. If you take everything that happens to you in stride, then the results of your decision aren't that big of a deal. After all, you're still in stride no matter what happens. So, regardless of what results come from your decision, just continue striding somewhere, dummy. Has your bad decision left you stressed, mad, sad, angry, horny? Fucking do something about it. It's that simple. Stay in motion, keep plowing through all the shit you accidentally put in your own path, and keep trying to lead a kick-ass life. If you approach your life this way, as constantly being in the mode of kicking the shit out of every problem that you come across, then problems, whether created by you or not, aren't that intimidating. They're part of the territory. They're the thing you're fixing today. So you passed up your dream job for something more lucrative, and you find yourself wanting to stab yourself in the eye with your pen every day at work? Well, alright, that's your current state. What can you do to change it? How can you get out of this kerfuffle? What comes next? What can you do to switch back to another career? What can you do to make your shitty new job more tolerable? Who at work do you trust that you can put on "don't let me stab myself in the eye" duty? If you approach a decision with "if this goes south, I'll die," then of course every decision will feel torturous and stressful. But almost every decision isn't that, and isn't worth giving that energy. If you instead approach every decision with "well, this is what I'm going with, and if it doesn't work out, I'll adjust," decision-making suddenly becomes super fucking easy. Suddenly, you're much freer to choose a new career, or to go for a hike this morning, or to break it off with that goober of a boyfriend who constantly wants to watch documentaries about birds. It comes down to this. Maintain maximum levels of optimism, wherewithal, and kickassery, and the results of your decisions are practically footnotes in your life. And hopefully, when you adopt this practice, you'll more consistently make the best decision a person can make. So I think perpetual motion and wherewithal are just so crucial. I mean, in general, but specifically in this context, like, even if the results of like a decision are kind of crushing you inside, you can take some time to react to that if you need to. But the important thing is that if every time you get knocked down, you get back up, then you can feel less threatened by the bad end results of most of your decisions, I guess, is kind of the really important thing here. Is the idea to kind of always stay positive and solution, like, and by positive, I don't mean like this awful thing that just happened was terrific. Like, I mean, like, the best remaining scenario out of all the other ones on our, you know, kind of like internal flowcharts here can still happen. Like, we can still accomplish this even though that terrible thing just happened. Is that kind of an important thing to have in the back of your mind when you're making decisions in the scenarios that you are put into?
Yeah, I think so. And the way I would say it is, rather than like staying positive, it would be like stay realistic, like be a realist and maintain perspective. So like, what did I know at the time? What are the results? And like, you know, just don't try to church it up, dirt. Like, it is what it is.
And
I say, rather than like, you gotta stay positive, like, not necessarily, man. Like, it could have gone really bad. You have to stay realistic.
Yeah. But I guess realistic would be like, would include like, you know, there's still a bunch of scenarios. So you have to stay results oriented, I would think, right?
Yeah. I think it's not necessarily binary, but it's like, did this work or did it not? Can I continue to reinforce that decision, or do I need to change courses? That's what I'd say. Like, just being, it's again, it goes back to the observation, like, okay, based on that action, what am I observing now? Oh, that didn't work. I got to change it up. Or like, nope, that's working. And like, keep going. Don't stop.
Move, dummy. So this all basically comes down to this. Doing things in life is fucking crucial. We don't do nearly enough. We waffle, we consider, and we go watch a marathon of Chopped, and before we know it, we're 47, single, and the only thing we've ever done is get another 7 cats. So if you're a habitually indecisive, wishy-washy asshole like me, here's a start for you. Your best decision moving forward can be summed up with this. Start doing something. Start moving somewhere. I don't know where you need to go, and you may not either. But then here's the only guarantee. Sitting still won't do anything for you. After all, what are you really if you just sit still and never move anywhere? Are you even still a person? Aren't you just more kind of a table that farts and has opinions about Star Wars? Life will literally pass you by like this, so you have to move somewhere. You have to do something. Take a wild guess, get going, learn from your bullshit, and adjust if you need to, knowing full well that no matter what you decide on, the world will not end. This mentality will save you tons of time and wasted energy, and it will help you make the only consistently right decision of doing things. You will fail when you do things. You will make god-awful decisions that set you back further than you were before. You will get a tattoo of your boyfriend's name, and then he'll run over your cat with his tundra and ask your sister-in-law for nudes. Keep a mentality of so the fuck what, and keep moving. Bring on the waves of shit. Accept the fallout of the stupid choices your stupid brain makes, and keep going. Just keep fucking doing, man.
My favorite line from your blog post is, stay in motion.
Yeah.
Stay in motion, because that is true. There's such like, you can unpack that so well in that, like, okay, we just emphasize this series of making decisions. Like, one decision leads to another, and we have this thing called what we call the OODA loop. And this guy, John Boyd, he was a fighter pilot back in the day. He really contributed to decision-making cycles and how people process information. Observe, orient, decide, and act is the OODA loop, OODA. And the important thing there is, when it comes to fighting someone, the guy who most likely is going to win is the dude who's making the decisions faster and can work through his OODA loop in a faster manner and can continue to stay in motion.
Yeah.
And, like, dude, like, to really get high on my, like, you know, military art soapbox, like, Sun Tzu talked about military forces moving like water through a creek bed, right? And it's just, like,
yeah,
very fluid motion. And, like, when you hit a rock, you go around it. And when you hit a dam, eventually the water rises to the top of that dam and then flows over it.
Yeah.
And when you view that as like a decision-making cycle, like, yeah, sometimes you just staying in motion and making decisions is a critical component to it.
Yeah. When one sits back and looks at decision-making, you can see like, oh yeah, these are the things you do. Like, it seems obvious, but I think it helps people to like really have that idea in their head when they're kind of in a decision-making context throughout life. So I think it's good to know.
Yeah. And of that, like, the feedback loop is the most important part because you kind of get feedback as everything's happening. So you make your observation and orient on, like, okay, what is it exactly that I'm seeing and what am I starting to think based on your background, based on things? And then as you make the decision and start to act on it, the feedback of that decision and action, you are now observing and orienting on that. And it's the quicker that you can do that and the more comfortable you are making these quick, rapid decisions, like,
yeah,
that's the key to success in a like high intensity scenario.
Yeah,
I think that's got application to like the business world and like,
yeah,
things as well. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I've only known the military. Like, you know, you and I both left Sacramento when we were 18 years old, and like, yeah, I've been in this world since then.
Yeah.
But I like, as I think about it, I'm like, man, I bet that is applicable to other things.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's probably just slower. Like, it's, you know, nobody's in the scenarios that you guys are in where it's like, oh, you need to make a decision in like 3 seconds. That's like a life or death decision. So it's, I think the principle applies in the same way, but it's just, you have some time to just kind of get your bearings a little bit more. There's just less pressure on it, which is probably why it's not quite as like taught as much, but doesn't mean that's any less beneficial to kind of keep those ideas in mind.
Yeah, makes sense.
Like you said, kind of throughout this, the important thing isn't necessarily to be correct. Like you said before, like, you still make wrong decisions all the time, but regardless of what you do, then you adjust immediately, and you, I think you probably learn from those decisions, and you keep going. And the keep going is almost the most, even beyond the first two things, it's almost the most important part. That's kind of always the first thing that you need to be doing. And that isn't, I guess, in your context, in a lot of contexts, that doesn't necessarily mean like, like when you're in battle, I would guess that the correct solution is not always to just be like charging forward constantly all the time. Sometimes it's waiting to see what happens, but that waiting and that observing that's its own form of action, you know, where you're still evaluating, and that's important as well.
The decision not to act is a decision as well. And sometimes it's a good, like, I couldn't say it better, man. Like, you're spot on.
I guess it's consistently conscious decisions is really what it is, rather than this, like, it's the back of your head, like, oh, I don't really know what I'm going to do. I'll just think about it for another, like, 8 years. That's what I think is a real problem for people. In a military context, like, obviously that could be drastically horrible. Outside of one, like, it could mean that you just don't do anything to improve your life that you've been wanting to improve for the next decade of your life. And suddenly, like, you're kind of stuck on this path towards nowhere. And that's, you know, it's its own form of a disaster, obviously not as bad, but
the decision to wait, the decision to hold, the decision to like, okay, we're going to hold on action until I get more information. Like, that is a decision. And like, there's hopefully some confidence associated with making that call. Like,
yeah,
again, like we talked about recklessness when it comes to like risk assumption, like there is a time and a place to be like, I can't make the call yet. I need to know this first. And like, okay.
Yeah.
And like, that's a decision in and of itself.
It's important to always have a plan, and that plan can certainly change, and it probably will change for most scenarios in your life. But it's important to go in with like, this is what I'm going to try to do here. And you have to keep your adjustments in mind and know how you're going to change if you need to change. But going in, like having an idea of what you're going to do and starting to act out that plan, that's the only way you can see whether or not it's going to work and how you need to adjust if you need to adjust. It's action that teaches everything. It's action that moves everything along. And so that's, action is really the most consistently important part. You got to act, you got to evaluate, and you got to adjust. I guess those are the kind of the three main things.
Yeah. And I think that, I think you're right on that. And I also think that, again, like, this is just where perspective is so important, because As you talked about kind of throughout the article, it's like some decisions just aren't as important as others. And so when you recognize, and really it's like when you recognize which decision is going to be important, which one you thought, how much time you have to make it, then like, yeah, like invest in that decision, educate yourself, consider the pros and cons, all the things that we've discussed here. But like, also like, what am I going to have for lunch? I don't know, man, what's in the fridge? And just specifically like in the current climate that the situation the world's in now, like I think we are really seeing the importance of subject matter experts and like seeking the opinion of people who know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And I'd say that's another thing, like, don't be afraid to ask for help. Like, I don't know everything there is to know about this specific thing. Who does? And either, like, you know, based on how much time there is, like, find the guy and be willing to ask or become that guy.
Yeah.
Because that is, like, really, like, what I look at with, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic and all the things that are happening. I'm like, it's a matter of trust, right? Like, who knows what they're talking about and who can I trust? And I just want to get their opinion on it so that I can feel better about the decisions that I'm making.
When you're put in positions where, like most of us, you have time to make decisions and you have time to consult other people. It's good to look at people you trust. It's good to, if it's as simple as a medical expert, then I think for most of us, it's just a matter of listen to them, do what they say. And then there's also the element of that where if it's just somebody who's maybe like on your level of something, but maybe is just offering a different perspective, I think that's really useful as well. And that's also really important to rely on. It's not as simply cut and dry as you listen to them and do what they say, since they're no more of an expert than you are, but it's taking that information into consideration, really considering it, putting yourself in the scenario where you followed that person's advice and see how it impacts your decision making. I think that's all very beneficial for people to follow. So here's my final word on part two for decision making. The big lesson of this part two is to stay in motion. There were a lot of helpful lessons in this episode about that. We learned about the OODA loop. This is great to remember in all scenarios, but most specifically, I think when shit goes wrong. If you need time to process feelings sometimes, odds are for you that won't result in somebody dying, so yeah, go for it. But otherwise, try to remain on the loop. Try to remain solutions-oriented. When your decision inevitably sucks and you need to change course, don't wallow in the bad decision. Don't bitch or give up. Sure as hell, don't stop trusting yourself. React, regather, and figure out where to go next. When you have the time, hint, you generally do, figure out where you want to be and backplan from there. This will keep your actions focused on a direction. And even if that direction kind of sucks, if it's forward somewhere, it's ultimately getting you to where you need to go. Sometimes that does involve waiting, but here's something that I missed during our conversation. Waiting is fine, but only if it's for a specific occurrence. In other words, waiting to see what happens, quote-unquote, in life usually sucks. Usually it's an excuse for inaction. Usually stay the fuck away from that. But if you're waiting to get approval or rejection, or for a specific right time that you know is going to come at some point, go ahead and wait. But do so only with a conscious choice about what you're waiting for. The real value in consistent decision-making is that it gives you more things on which to base future decisions. If you go through your life as interminably wishy-washy, if you're constantly unsure of what to do and therefore do nothing, you're perpetuating the very problem that you're dealing with because, shit, if you have no experiences, then what is your basis for any decision? How can you ever decide anything if all you've ever done is guessing and playing out scenarios in your own head? If your decision in hindsight totally sucked, then you can always adjust. You can always, like the water mentioned by Sun Tzu, alter course to continue always moving forward. But you need something to adjust to. You need some basis for your next move. So in order to even make a next move, you first need a first move. If you never make decisions, it means you never take action, which means you don't have a life, which means you're kinda dead. I think it means you're dead. Like, seriously, I think at that point, your pulse is just for show. Overthinking is fucking great and fun, and it can be helpful. Analysis isn't all bad, and for some of us, it's the best way to get started. But ultimately, at the end of the day, your decisions are the basis for your decisions. So, that is our show. If you have any thoughts, if you have any questions, if you're seeking any kind of advice, go ahead and write to me. You can write to me at will@bebetterstupid.com, or you can DM me on Instagram, and we'll talk about your questions on air. Make sure to check out all of my content at BeBetterStupid.com, and when you're there, click on the Get the Free eBook button. It'll get you a free, awesome eBook about how to manage your time better, and it'll also sign you up for my email list, where you can get constant updates about what's going on at Be Better Stupid. Also, if you like this podcast, make sure to give it a nice rating and a review if you can. Make sure to subscribe to it. Make sure to tell your friends. And finally, if you like this song you're listening to, it's called Yawn. It's by Nick Dorian. It's awesome. Check him out. And for Mike, I'm Will Penny, reminding you to be better, stupid. You got me on it, 'cause I'm so